If you drive on the highways and roadways of North Carolina, you oftentimes see on the side of the road this plant that grows. I guess technically it's a vine. I look at it almost as a weed, although I'm not sure a botanist would call it a weed. I think it's a plant. It has large green leaves. It's called kudzu. You ever see that along the side of the road? It just is incredibly invasive. It takes off and it grows up and over walls. It grows up trees. It goes across walls and fences. It comes out into the roadways. I understand it grows anywhere from 1 to 3 feet a day when it's in bloom. It also has these rhizomes, as it's called, that grow under the ground, much like warm season grass grows under the ground. It keeps spreading. No wall, no fence, nothing can really keep it contained. I understand it was brought in around the 19th century to this part of our country, and it was brought in by farmers with the purpose of preventing erosion. So it had a purpose when it was first brought in, but over the years it has become just a plant that you find everywhere. Kudzu spreads, nothing can hold it back. Keep that in your mind for a second. I'm going to come back to that, the kudzu plant, in just a moment. Our readings today, this book, reading from Samuel and the gospel reading, are almost like bookends or part of one story in some ways. Let me explain that a bit. We hear in the book of Samuel a story about the kings of Israel. Samuel is one of the last of what were referred to as the judges of the Hebrew people of Hebrew history. If you remember, the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt. Moses led them through the desert. They came to what was called the Promised Land. And when they entered into the Promised Land, they saw this as land given to them by God. But it's always important to remember that it wasn't a vacant lot. People were living there. There were nations there. There were armies there. There were towns and villages. But the Hebrew people saw this as a place given to them by God. And as they entered into that promised land, the leadership of the Hebrew people were very much under the what are called the judges. Now, the judges were not so much judges that sit in a courtroom and make decisions on cases. The word judge had more of a sense of a leader. Some will even say like a military leader. Someone had to lead them at that time as they took over this land that was given to them. There were battles and there were wars. That's where you find a lot of that in scriptures. I taught high school many years ago in the Bronx, and one of the courses was Old Testament. And I know the freshmen that I taught loved this part of it with the battles. And then we'd end a class on one, like an edge of a story, and then come back the next day. Incredible stories. But as they begin to settle in this promised land, they now begin to move into another phase. They have defeated many of these people, defeated many of these small nations and large nations, and now they want to be a nation. The Hebrew people want to be a monarchy. I'm paraphrasing, we want to be like them and better and stronger. We want to have power over the people. We want to have power over the land. We want this. We want to be a monarchy. It's debatable whether God was calling them to that, but as you oftentimes see in Scripture, it's almost like God says, okay, you want to have a monarchy? Go have a monarchy. See how that works for you. And you see the beginning of history of this great monarchy that develops. And there's kings that come about. That time of the kings was, there were good times, there were bad times, but it was not a time that was to last. And eventually the whole monarchy collapses. And what we're seeing in the book of Samuel is Samuel, who is sort of the last of these judges, who's kind of like a transitional person. The story is he's being called by God to find a new king for the people. not happy with Saul. And Samuel goes to this family. He's told to go to this place and find among the sons of Jesse a king. And it's a great story if you look at it closely. You know, Samuel arrives and Jesse says, you know, how about this son? No. How about this son? No. How about this one? No. Seven sons are brought before him. And finally, you know, Samuel says to Jesse, paraphrasing, do you have anyone else? You have any other sons? And, oh yeah, there's this David, you know, not the most conspicuous one in this part of the story. He's out taking care of the sheep, and Samuel, so bring him in. And the least one who's expected to be king becomes king, King David. It's kind of that story that we're hearing in Samuel, this development of the monarchy and kings as the leaders. Eventually, the monarchy collapses. Eventually, they're defeated, and you fast forward to the time of Jesus, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. Jesus comes among the people, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. And they were defeated many, many hundreds of years ago, but now they've lived under Greek rule, they're now living under Roman rule, they're living under the Roman Empire, and it was in their DNA, even though some of them did not know of those times of the monarchy, some of them still look to that time. It's almost in their DNA that we want to conquer these Romans. We want to be great again like we were in our history. We want to be a nation that stands over the Romans. We want this power over the people, over the land. We want a great temple. We want a great throne. We want a king again. We want a Messiah. And in many ways, that was among some of the followers at that time, some of the Hebrew people, that desire. And along comes Jesus. That was their understanding in their history of what the kingdom of God could look like. We were once a great nation. We need to be a great nation again and have this power over everyone. And Jesus comes and talks about the kingdom of God. And he oftentimes does it in the form of parables. And in today's reading from Mark, he's telling two parables. One that's so simplistic, it's just simplistic. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like the planting of seed. The farmer goes home, sleeps, gets up, and God raises these seeds into plants. And the farmer comes along and harvests them. And it brings about life. That's the kingdom of God. You hear the hearers saying, you know, where's the great nation? Where's the rising up of kings? Where is the army we're going to bring together to defeat the Romans? And Jesus is saying, you know, the kingdom of God is simple as planting seeds. Then he tells this second parable, which I really want to engage with a little bit more. It's the story of the mustard seed. The story of the mustard seed. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like the planting of the mustard seed, which is described as being the smallest seed. I think in many ways that was what's sometimes referred to as hyperbole. The mustard seed is not necessarily the smallest seed, but the point that Jesus is trying to make is the smallest, the most minute little seed gives forth other possibilities. Now, the mustard plant was kind of like kudzu. Not totally. That may not be, it's not a 100% comparison. But the way we would see kudzu would be like the folks at that time hearing Jesus say, the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. They would have looked at each other and said, what? The mustard plant was a you could say an invasive kind of plant. You didn't necessarily plant a mustard plant in your field. The mustard plant was kind of an invasive plant. It showed up, and in many ways you'd go to the mustard plant to get benefits from it. That's the big difference between the mustard plant and kudzu. They found something from the mustard plant. They would harvest it. It produced medicinal purposes. It was an herb. It produced spices. It had some value to it. But it was just an invasive plant. And you can hear these people saying, this is the kingdom of God? And compare it to a plant? And Jesus makes this point that the plant grows, and the mustard plant did. It spread. It was more like a shrub than a tree, but it would spread out its branches, and it would grow, and it would grow, and it would grow. And Jesus is saying, and in that growth, it's providing shelter to the birds. It's giving life, and it spreads out. Again, like kudzu, no wall can limit it. No fence can limit it. No imperial empire can limit its reach. It just goes where it goes and grows. And Jesus is saying, in many ways, that is the kingdom of God. Not necessarily a power over people. Not necessarily a power over a land. But rather a power of relationship. A power that sends us forth like the mustard plant in the living of our lives. No walls can block it. No fences can make it not grow anymore. No imperial power can have influence on this. In our relationships as followers of Christ, we bring about the kingdom in living our life in that kind of way. Sort of like the kudzu plant. It just grows. It grows. It grows. And I'd say, friends, there's always many points in a parable, but one of the points can be that we are those seeds. We are those seeds. And in our relationships with each other, we are that mustard plant that spreads out, provides shelter, provides refuge, provides sustenance, provides transformation, mirrors and images what the dream is of God, of the kingdom of God. A life where we live together in relationship and make a difference in this world. And sometimes it's the smallest of things. Just as in the reading from Samuel, this David, who was an even with the people, they had bring him in from the field. The least expected to be king. And Jesus is saying the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, can become something grand. Oftentimes in our lives, we look for wonderful, grand, and wondrous things. But if you think about your life, and the older I get, it's the simple things in our lives that have transformed us. The simple relationship, the friendship, the insight, the care that we receive from each other that are transformative and bring about the kingdom. So as we gather this day, may we, each in our own small way, as a small mustard seed, go forth. Nothing can keep us back from that. And let us go forth, bring about in our world the kingdom of God that is given and presented to us as a dream and a vision of Jesus' ministry.